This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Grand Bigs.
Bigs time.
Bigs.
With Molly and Haw.
Bigs time.
The Bigs Report
with Brad Biggs.
Bigs time.
Bigsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. Brad Biggs, the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a long time contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay!
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you know the story. The Bears completed their draft, and they walked away with eight players, three of whom they took in the second round. What is your take on the Bears draft?
Yeah, when you get half your draft in the top two rounds, you ought to feel like you're going to have some impact players coming in to help you improve not only competition and depth, but starters. Like these guys, maybe it doesn't happen right away, but there's been drafts in the not too distant past where you've looked at it and you said, yeah, well, they got all these guys, but wait a minute, like most of them are round five or later. These are some big picks for Ryan Poles, for Ben Johnson, and you would hope that they get benefits from these new players sooner rather than later.
When you look at Ozzie Trapillo from Boston College, he's primarily a right tackle, or at least he has been the last couple of years. How do you envision him fitting into that situation you just described?
Well, I think you're looking at him at right tackle to start with. Really massive individual. If you get him out on the grass and you feel like he can move maybe better than you expected, perhaps you dabble with him at left tackle. But I don't think you want to give a new player too much to try to accomplish from the get-go. You want to make it not as simple as you can for him, but you want to put these young players in a position to have some success, build confidence, and move forward.
Who, in your opinion, we've got a lot of people checking in, was the head coach referring to Ben Johnson when he said that they turned up the notch or dialed up the notch or turned the notch a dial, whatever way he put it? Who was he talking about? He was talking about Cole Kmet, obviously. A lot of people speculating, was he talking about DJ Moore?
Yeah, I don't know that he was talking about Cole Kmet. Like, look, they're going to run if what Ben Johnson did previously in Detroit is a loose guideline for what you're going to see here. They're going to run a lot of personnel with two tight ends. You need two of them. So does that turn up the heat on Cole? Like, yeah, there's been so much hand-wringing over the dip in production in the passing game from Cole Kmet this past season, and I really struggle to put a lot of the blame on Cole. I'm looking more at the coordinators. I'm looking some at the quarterback, you know, maybe reticent at times to throw the ball over the middle or get to some of the secondary reads. So I know it's been popular and it's been sport to kind of be critical of Cole Kmet, but you got to understand he's a wide tight end. Okay, he's not this pass-catching tight end that isn't really involved in your running game. He's a wide tight end with significant upside in the passing game. So his numbers are never going to look like Brock Bowers with the Raiders or something. He's not that kind of player, but he can be involved in the running game, and I think they still value him pretty highly there. In fact, I know they do. DJ Moore, yeah, that's interesting. I wondered that a little bit, Mully, with the selection of Luther Burden. You know, hopefully it's all of them. Hopefully it's Roschon Johnson, and hopefully it's any of the offensive linemen that are kind of in the mix. So hopefully they bring in a couple undrafted players and just be throwing a dart at the board right now. But hopefully they bring in a couple undrafted guys that are pushing for a spot at the back end of that roster as a backup in the secondary or a backup at another spot where they could have an impact on special teams.
Your point about Cole Kmet's a good one, Brad. I think what Mully's getting to or alluding to is the same thing I wondered as well. When you look at his role on this team, nobody is diminishing how important he can be and what he is in terms of a leader in that locker room. But he's also among the top 10 highest paid tight ends in the league. That's a lot of money, $9.9 million next year for somebody who you just described as a supplemental piece, maybe a complementary piece to your passing game. That's usually what you pay a guy who is your primary target on third and five or in the red zone. And he's not that guy. So I do wonder moving forward.
He was that guy, Dave, in 2023 when he had, what, I want to say 7 touchdown catches. I believe, like he has been that guy in the past. And again, he's not gonna light the world on fire in comparison to some of these other tight ends. He's not gonna go out there and have 105 catches for 1,100 yards. But he can be that guy on third and five. He's proven to be effective in the red zone, and it's gonna be up to the coaching staff and the quarterback to find a way to greatly utilize Cole Kmet, Colston Loveland, all the wide receivers, the running backs. Like, it's a good problem to have, but they've got to prove they can do that this year where they failed miserably at this a year ago.
That's a good point, good answer. Just, he's the fifth option in the passing game.
Yeah, right. You know, and I got to ask you, Brad, when
your wide tight end shouldn't be the first option. So
let me ask you about Loveland in particular, because we talked to Olin on Saturday, and he said that they never really used him in line during last year at Michigan because he had this shoulder injury, which was clearly causing him issues, that you could see him wincing and grabbing at the shoulder at different times. He played the year with this injury. He has had surgery on his shoulder. Do you know what his time frame is? In other words, when he comes in and if he will be ready to go right away? And I'm just curious, could he be used? I mean, I know they're going to take advantage of the mismatch on the outside and he's going to be stretching the seam, but could they even use him differently in terms of an inline player eventually here because of his age? He's barely 21, and he's going to be getting bigger and stronger.
Yeah, in terms of the injury, I think we could see him running routes and doing stuff here. They don't want him having any contact, and
right,
the rules say you're not supposed to have any contact in these off-season settings. I think we're all cognizant of the fact that sometimes things get elevated in terms of competition for first-year head coaches in some of these non-contact sessions. Remember the Bears, I believe they got penalized during Matt Eberflus's first year for a little too much contact, but they want to steer clear of that. with Loveland. I think to have him fully cleared in advance of training camp, like no concern that he won't be ready to go there. And I think you make a good point that, like, and I believe the feeling is that this guy, because of his frame and sort of his temperament and demeanor, they believe that he could be an asset as a blocker moving forward. Like, that's an area where you can coach a player up. Some of the other stuff that Colston Loveland does that sets him apart, that made him the first tight end drafted in this class, the position coach can't coach. Like, it's the athletic ability combined with the size and movement skills. Like, that's good luck coaching that up. But improving as a blocker, being more effective in that area, absolutely. I think they can get significantly better with Colston Loveland in that phase.
Brad, what did you think of the way Ryan Poles explained being sort of boxed out of selecting a running back? And how realistic is it to expect Kyle Manungai from Rutgers in the seventh round to contribute?
Yeah, you wanted to get a running back that was going to fit what you were looking for, right, in a loaded running back class. And I believe they like Travion Henderson an awful lot, and he goes the pick before to New England. And when the draft had ended Thursday night, round one, I looked at it. I said, well, who's in front of the Bears? You know, how could this shake out? And I thought the Patriots maybe were the only team that would go with a running back there at the very top of round two. And that ended up happening. There's probably some other backs in there they liked a little bit, but Manungai, and I hope I'm pronouncing it right, he's a guy that I think has a chance. I really do. Like, this could be their best seventh round pick since Charles Leno, and the bar's low with some of those guys that have been drafted since Leno. But I think when you look at opportunity for starters, and then you consider what this guy did at Rutgers for that program. I talked with a national scout from another team, and this is going back to, it was probably late March, guys. And we're talking about players. We're spending some time going over a variety of different positions. And I got to running back, and I said, who could be a tone setter that doesn't play at Ohio State or Boise State? And he rattled off a couple names. Wasn't some crazy long list. And he said, I don't know where he's going to get drafted, but I love the kid from Rutgers. And he said, he's gonna make somebody's roster and find a way to contribute positively. So, I didn't know anything about him. I don't watch a lot of, lower tier Big Ten football, which I think is where Rutgers is at, but
ouch,
he did ouch. Real well there, and I think he's got a shot, Dave.
I love it,
Brad. You do watch some Mizzou football,
yeah? You do.
What did you actually take part in that hug fest they had when they drafted that
or
kid?
Or was it just a fist pump?
Were you just off camera hugging?
I was surprised,
Kevin
I was
Warren.
Surprised, I'm surprised they went with a wide receiver there. I hope the plan works, right? There's one football. There's a lot of mouths to feed. However you want to slice it up, I hope it works out. Super dynamic as a sophomore at Missouri in 2023, and had a significant impact as a true freshman, right? I mean, that was a recruiting coup to land him, and then the production and the numbers really dipped this past season. Quarterback struggled, regressed. The quarterback had a series of injuries. They played a backup that was terrible. So the numbers don't look nearly as impressive as they do from his sophomore season. But, he's made some huge plays against some really good college defenses.
I seem to recall somebody doing some sort of a dance when Justin Gage was once drafted out of Mizzou.
Oh, wow.
Did you have any?
Gage made some, He was a pretty good player. No, I had no reaction. I was more surprised than anything just that they went with a wide receiver when you looked at it and you said, what about an edge rusher?
Right, right.
Yeah. So, which late in the draft, you know, I thought Roschon Johnson was one of the real winners for players on the roster, right? Just like whose position is a little bit better than maybe it could have been coming out of this draft. And I think you look at Austin Booker, right? Maybe he's now he's going to actually be a winner. He's got to go out and be a better and more productive player this season. But in terms of opportunity and not getting knocked down a peg or two, like it's sitting there for him, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And that's a good point. I look at the other guy coming into the defensive line room, Shamar Turner from Texas A&M, and I wonder,
yeah, I like
Brad,
him.
who does he threaten in terms of playing time or a roster spot?
I don't think he threatens anyone because if you're doing it right, you're keeping those guys fresh, right? And one of the things that maybe the Falcons were guilty of last year was playing Grady Jarrett too much, especially coming off an ACL the year before. Those are big guys that can wear down. Zach Pickens was going to face a real challenge to make this roster without Shamar Turner coming on board probably. So I just think getting Shamar Turner in a situation where, you know, maybe he can observe Grady Jarrett and how he goes about his craft in the meeting room, in the weight room, on the practice field, and things of that nature. That's really smart because physically, yeah, he sort of profiles the same way. And Grady Jarrett has been a fantastic player in this league. That fantastic part of that career is probably not going to stretch too much longer. The Bears signed him to a 3-year deal that really, when you look at it, it's like two. And if he's, you know, defying old man in time, maybe he gets to that third season. But Turner, athletic, can create havoc in the middle of the pocket, and they certainly have had a need for that. So I like that move a lot. And he's a guy that, listen, without that shin fracture, stress fracture that he played on pretty much all last season, he's a guy that could have been drafted at the very top of round two. And there was discussion last summer. He's a guy whose name you would have heard as a potential pick somewhere in round one. So they got a guy that it's coming off that 6-sack season he had the previous season. He was hot for scouts to get a look at.
Brad, we were talking earlier about the fact that the Bears came out of a draft the last 2 years and signed a defensive end 1 year and then traded for a guy to help him as a defensive end. Is that the new running back position? Could you see, I don't know who, someone older, maybe injured, whether it's someone like Chubb or J.K. Dobbins, could you see the Bears picking up some help at running back in order to kind of fuel the play action game?
And potentially, you know, a lot of people have talked about Chubb. I mean, he had a brutal, brutal knee injury there in 2023. Yep. His production last year wasn't very good. I'm not going to pretend like I've watched a lot of Nick Chubb from the action that he did have this past season, but I don't think you'd be getting the Nick Chubb that everybody likes to think about. I would look at running back as one of those positions, Molly. Possibly safety, although kind of never mentioned in this safety discussion is Elijah Hicks, who they still have, who has played a pretty good amount in terms of a backup. And I believe it's possible that them coming out of this draft without a safety at least says a little something about the confidence that they have in him to go out and perform. That safety position is one where you could potentially see a small handful of players with other teams released in the coming 2-3 weeks. You could go out and get a guy if you needed one. So I would kind of bundle those two positions together as ones to maybe keep an eye on a little bit. But I don't think they have to go out and get a Dobbins or a Chubb. I'd be really interested in seeing what Kyle Manungai can do, you know, how the new coaching staff feels about Roschon Johnson. Remember, the front office loved Roschon when they got him in here.
Okay.
And for a variety of reasons, including injury, he didn't get on the field a whole lot this past season. But what do the coaches think about the guys you've got first?
You surprised me today, Brad.
Great
Thanks.
Stuff. Good stuff. Thank you, Bigsy.
It's always good stuff, Dave. You got to be a little more open-minded.
I am very open-minded, Brad. I'm just glad that you are. So, good stuff. Thank you.
Thank you, Brad. That's great stuff.
Have a great day, guys.